The following podcast is brought to you by Crosswinds Golf and Country Club in Burlington, Ontario. Nestled under the Niagara Escarpment between Rattlesnake Point and Mount Nemo, Crosswinds offers breathtaking million-dollar views, spectacular golf, outstanding customer service, and a commitment to excellence that you just don't find at a public golf course. At Crosswinds, you're treated special, like a member of a private club. The facilities are outstanding, but it's the people that make the difference at Crosswinds. Check it out for yourself, the way I'm checking out this microphone. Go to crosswindsgolf.com and book your tee time online now. You're going to love it. Before you know it, Crosswinds will be your club of choice. And don't forget, tell them Hebsy sent you. I'm going in 2 days. It's always sunny at Crosswinds, by the way. Mike, can we start the podcast now? Live from New Toronto, it's Hebsy on Sports, episode number 249. Hi there, sports fans. Mark Hebsher along with Toronto Mike in the backyard studio for the first time in
a year,
408 days, and all set to bring you the best sports podcast in the world, whether you're a Toronto sports fan or not. No lying, no bullshit, no sucking up to corporate masters or teams that expect you to cover them like you're a member of the PR department. No knee pads necessary here. You're going to get honest, straightforward, no-nonsense sports commentary. I don't know what Mike's going to give you, but that's what I promise you. Somebody was telling me about Bob McCowan's been tweeting some stuff. New news? Wow! Another tragically hip wine? Don't tell me. What's this one going to be called? Road apples? It's a cider? All right.
That's coming.
That was pretty inside stuff. All right. Hey, listen, we've got the story of the blazing hot Blue Jays, who a week ago we were like, they got like an 8% chance. Like, who would bet on the Blue? What has gotten into this team? What have they been smoking, and can I get some of it? Or is it the jacket? Or is it the fact that Springer, they don't need Springer? I don't need to be worried about Springer. They got Alejandro Kirk. I love this team. They got Vladdy Guerrero, too, who remarkably is still in the hunt for the Triple Crown. What a story. Speaking of stories, another Montreal-born youngster, not Vladdy, happens to be a giant killer. Layla Annie Fernandez made Canada proud yesterday, as she has all week, at the U.S. Open of tennis. She's going to the finals against another Canadian-born teenager after a thrilling semifinal win before a partisan crowd. She loves New York, and they love her. And another Canadian tries to duplicate her feat today. FAA all the way! Woo. The 17-week National Football League season kicked off last night, and what a dandy between Brady and the Bucks and Prescott of the Cowboys. A barn burner, if there ever was one. I just wanted to use the expression barn burner. I may use seat squirmer later. We're going to talk soccer, golf, sports, media, news, and more. But first, it's nice to be out of the little Italy conclave there, enclave.
I already feel an energy shift.
And here in the backyard studio, this is ever nice. And you know what's a beautiful thing is, Mike, I can see you, so I don't have to be looking at a monitor to see if you're paying attention or you're about to say something. Or, you know, speaking to someone in the same room or vicinity is a wonderful thing.
And even like hearing you over the music and little things like that are so much more elegant and easy when you're in person on the mic.
Like
you like that word? I got to say, what a pleasure to see you. I did see you briefly 2 weeks ago at TMLX8, but like you said, I had a million balls in the air and we couldn't spend any quality time together. So it's been almost a year, I would say, since your last visit to the backyard and we did a Hebsy on Sports in person. Love it. Glad you're here. There's a great crowd. I got to get, because Gene Velaitis needs an Otis update, so we got to start with that. But I just got to say hi to Darren Shanahan, who chimes in from Quebec. And of course, Brian Gerstein is here. He's a huge tennis fanatic. Right. Paul Hockyard.
Shanny, wait a second. So Shanahan's nickname for sure is Shanny. So let's shout out to Shanny.
Although he goes by the moniker Quebec Irish Boy. That's his mind. Yeah, I know.
Right.
That's what he goes
by. Gerstein is along all the time. Okay, solid citizen there.
We have a debut. I like this. Marlon Canales is making his, he listens to the podcast typically, but today he's listening live and watching live on your YouTube channel. So everybody who listens to the podcast should know, 9:20 every Friday, go to Hebsy's YouTube channel, live from Toronto with Hebsy, And you can watch all this excitement live. And now...
And there's other stuff on the YouTube channel, too. Like, I got old Hebsy Awards posted and some like other stuff. I got the interview that I did with George Bell a couple years ago when he talked about charging the mound with Bruce Keeson.
Right.
And that was in the 85 pennant race. And that was in September of 85. It might have been earlier that year. But anyway, September of 85 was the most exciting. The Jays were hanging on to this lead that they had all season. Hanging on. Down to, like, one game, two games. It was every frickin' night. And they went into Yankee Stadium right around this time and beat the shit out of the Yankees, okay?
Yes.
And it was unbelievable. It was thrilling. They're throwing at George Bell. They're throwing at Lloyd Mosby.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? They're throwing at Alfredo Griffin. And so I see Bell and I say, you know, do you want to talk about that? And he never discussed it. And he sat down. I think a great interview that's on there. And he's just talking about Keeson and just how the team was, you know, we're not going to take this shit anymore from these. Because all these teams were trying to intimidate these young Blue Jays. And I'm looking at this team this year and I'm going, you know, and it's inevitable to make a comparison. But I'm like, man.
Yeah.
I remember, you know, Vladdy is George Bell. You know, Jesse Barfield, man, he's, you know, that's Bo Bichette. I see the, you know, where these guys are. And this team is younger. Mm-hmm. That team had been, maybe it had 3 years together or so. But anyway, the parallels are very exciting because once a team believes in itself, a young team believes in itself, seriously, there's like, it's so exciting to watch. And it's not them that's making the mistakes now that they were making earlier this year. It's the other teams. And that's when you notice it. You say, oh, they're intimidated by the Blue Jays. They're intimidated. They're making mistakes. They're throwing to the wrong base, right? This was always a problem with the Jays. They're running themselves out of innings on. They're making mistakes. They can't play defense, blah, 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 all this shit, right? Meanwhile, we're not taking into consideration the fact that all these other teams are scared shitless of the Blue Jays.
It was only 2 weeks ago when you were calling for Montoyo's head.
I was, and I wasn't the only one.
Right.
I still don't think he's the manager for this team. There's still question, but let's face it. I mean, when you're winning, come on, you know. He could make a bunch of mistakes. And what am I going to do? I'm going to start picking out I'm writing down the moves he made that I disagreed with? No, not at all. It's just, you know, it's 162 game season.
So when you were crafting this episode in your head, probably on your way to the studio here
in the
backyard.
Is that what you think I do?
I think you kind of see all the parts and you shape them together. Like, where do you start? Are you starting with the Jays? Because I thought you were going to start with tennis, but then I thought you might throw us a wild card, start with Otis, kind of get into the tennis, and then get into the Jays. There's multiple A stories here.
Well, no, but listen, the Blue Jays has been part of my life since 1977. Layla Annie Fernandez has been part of my life since 7 days ago, right? Otis was part of my life for 7 months or whatever the heck it was, and you know, he's been an indoor cat now, by the way. Here's the segue. Mm-hmm. And almost every day I see him now because the neighbors walk him on a leash with a harness, which I had gotten for him because for some reason I thought, you know, this cat, as an outdoor cat, would like to be able to go outdoors. And I, for one, wouldn't mind walking the cat if he was amenable. And he was. He was just walking along the sidewalk, not run away or pull away like a dog. Right? Mind you, if a dog came along, right, he would get, you know, he'd freak out a bit and I'd have to pick him up. So anyway, now the neighbors who now own Otis, they own him, okay? There is no more Otis.
Did you sign over the deed?
Nah, I didn't sign over. But anyway, and I know he's loved and that's the most important thing, right? And I see, you know, I'm sitting on the porch having a coffee and I see, that's Otis. And yep, sure enough, they walk him every day, maybe twice a day, maybe three times a day for all I know. I don't ask, right. But he's out there, right?
And like just for exercise? Because he probably has a kitty litter in the home, right? Like he's
I don't know.
He just goes for exercise.
I didn't ask. Okay. All I know is he likes, you know, some people have dill, you know, growing in their yard. And, you know, he's sniffing for dill and there's mice around and, you know, he's, you know, sniffing. And somebody's got catnip growing or some form of catnip and he likes it out there. It's pretty cool. So I've seen him quite often and, you know, eyes are going and he's still the same. He, you know, walks right by you like you don't exist. It was like that with everybody. He's like an autistic cat that way. Yeah. You know, no, it doesn't show any emotions or anything like that. Not that cats do. So this morning, as I'm pulling to get here, because I borrowed my girlfriend's car to come here, because I've got some lasagna to pick up later and some beer you've got for me and other stuff like that, which I can't. If I biked over, I would not be able to.
You gotta fit it all in that backpack.
That would be difficult. So as I'm pulling out, no kidding, who runs in front of the car? It's Otis. Not on the leash. And Ashley is like 10 feet behind him. And I'm sort of like, hey, like I thought he was fine. But it's early in the morning and she's thinking, we'll just let him go without the leash. He's not going to run away.
Well, you have heard a disaster. This would be the tragic end of the tale.
Hepsi runs over Otis. No, okay, there's good, no way. Good. No, you're always watching. It wasn't quite like that. I wasn't running a lot. I was sitting parked and he's like, you know, he zipped in front. I said, hey, Otis. I rolled the window down literally. And hey, Otis. Didn't even look at me. Didn't even look, kept on going. That's the Otis update. There you go. He's fine. He's happy.
Okay, good. Now, okay, I think you start with J's, but just, I want to say hello.
No, what do you think on your show? What would you have started with, okay?
I
didn't watch the, like, I.
Like, how did you watch?
Here's the background. I'll give you the background. This is something you could never do on a sportscast. Now time for sports. Here's Mark Kupcher. Good morning, everyone. Last night in the National. Right? So this way, last night I plan it out. It's like, okay, we got the Jays going on at the same time as Layla, 7 o'clock.
Yes.
Right? We got the NFL game, which is like, you know, third choice by a long shot. But still, you know, I like Brady and I like football. And,
sure.
I like football and I like Brady. And so how am I going to watch this? And more importantly, what does Serena want to watch, right?
Right.
So I'm thinking she wants to watch the tennis more for Leila Fernandez. No, she's been invested in the Jays for as long as I've been invested almost in the Jays. She was an Expo fan before that, a huge Expo fan.
Okay.
And so it's baseball, and we follow this. This is every night. Remember, it's baseball. It's every day, every day, every day. Leila Fernandez is, when is she? Thursday? When was she? Monday? Did we, you know? And so, okay, yeah, it's the U.S. Open. That's great. But, you know, it's the Jays. We don't miss the Jays. So we got the Jays.
Okay, Jays got
we don't miss
one.
The Jays. We don't miss the Jays. And plus, not only that, not only the independent race, but they got a chance to sweep the Yankees. So it's even more important because you really want to kick the shit out of the Yankees because you really feel good when you see this prick, Aroldis Chapman, this wife beater out there. You know, what did he get, a slap on the wrist or something like that? And you love to see Vladdy Guerrero take him deep. And I'm thinking as Vladdy's hitting the ball out, and he's, I believe, the father of two daughters.
Yes.
He's going, you motherfucker, Cuban piece of shit, and banging the ball over the wall at the highest exit velo of a ball ever hit against Aroldis Chapman, like apparently, okay? Like no one's ever hit one harder. And I'm going, yeah, this, anyway. That's my deep dislike for the Yankees.
So you had the Jays game priority one.
On the big screen. That's the way you do it. The biggest screen, okay?
Right.
Biggest event.
Okay, because here it was all Leila Fernandez, like the entire.
I get it.
I get it.
Believe me, as you know, both sports are excellent at being able to enough time in between where you can focus over. It's like, okay, he's not going to pitch yet. He's still pawing the rubber. I can watch this point. Okay, that point's going on. There's a crack of the bat on that screen. And as you know, it's happened many, many times. And it always will. It's beautiful. It's fun, but it's nerve-wracking. It's nerve-wracking because as the Jays are taking the lead, you're going, Layla Annie Fernandez is getting broken. Oh, no. Like it's just a roller coaster of emotions.
What a night.
So, here's the deal. Where do we start today?
Well, first, we start by just saying hello to Peter DeMarco because he's also making his debut catching the live show. I like to acknowledge people when they make their debut. So let me know in the comments if it's your first time. And so many people showing up for this.
No, you don't ask someone if it's their first time. That's a very personal question. It is.
Well,
do you not think
if
that
it's
would
with
be
me, it's not personal, right? Because it's like their first time with us.
Do you not think that would be the this was my concept for a radio show years ago.
Yeah.
It was a feature. I'd done several of them, but it was a feature. It's supposed to be like a minute and a half kind of radio bite-sized feature. And it was called The First Time. That was the title of it.
Okay.
And what the idea was, and I got all kinds, probably hundreds of them, is I asked every former NHL and current NHL player, NFL player, athlete, whatever, if they remember the first time that they, first NHL goal, first whatever it was. That was the basis of it.
Oh, I dig it.
Because everyone remembers with such clarity. Every hockey player remembers exactly that first goal.
Sure.
Exactly. They'll never forget that moment. So I wanted to capture these moments of players, of athletes, and entertainers too, for that matter, before they were famous. When they were just regular folk trying to make it, like that kind of thing, right?
Right.
Like with the Tragically Hip, I mean, Gord Sinclair said to me, so I said, when did you realize like you first made it? He goes, we heard our song on the radio in Kingston. We drove to the top of the hill to listen to the station in New York State or something like that. They played it, like that kind of thing. It was beautiful because it was innocent. So they all remembered that. So it was called The First Time. So when you ask someone about The First Time, it's a double entendre, right? First time, man, that's a personal question.
Yeah, it sounds like it was like a something for Mojo Radio or something.
Yeah, but, hey, what's but, all
that
about?
Two, I'm just interested in that Junk Food Junction and Stephanie Wilkinson are having their first experience in the last year. I'm surprised Stephanie, diehard Blue Jays fan, owner of the Ontario Blue Jays, I'm surprised this is her live stream debut, but she does listen to the podcast. So go Jays, go.
I've been saying it since the first day, Mike, okay? I've told you the story. I've told the listeners the story of how deeply baseball is deeply embedded in me. My parents, 69 years married, 69 years ago, were in New York, 52. In 1952, they went to the Polo Grounds Yankee Stadium in Ebbets Field on their honeymoon, okay? This was a purpose. This is how much they had only heard of these places and maybe seen them on television. Television had only existed for a few years. They were wide-eyed 20-year-old kids. The original Yankee Stadium, too, like 75,000 seats.
Wow.
Okay? Unbelievable. Anyway.
And congratulations. So 69 years married, that's unbelievable, Mark.
And my dad, the biggest Blue Jay fan, does not miss a game, okay? Could watch. What's he going to do in the offseason? I said, watch replays of games. He goes, that's a good idea. Okay, so here's the deal, folks. So we're starting with the Jays, and if you don't like it, you're going to have to wait. You're going to have to wait. Would they sweep the Yankees was the thing. Was just the feel, just the idea that you could sweep Oakland and the Yankees. The idea that a week ago I said, and we've got the tape, I said the Jays have to start by sweeping Oakland.
Yes.
And then let's see what happens with the Yankees.
And a big comeback in that first game, that first win against
Fantastic.
Oakland. Big comeback. And that really
Fantastic.
Set the tone. Amazing.
Amazing. And remember we were bitching about, because the night before they had lost the game on an inside the park home run or whatever you wanted to call it against Detroit. It was like, ugh. Anyway, so who's the best team in baseball right now? The Blue Jays. The best. Okay? Yeah, you can talk about the San Francisco Giants. And the, fuck them. Seriously. Nobody, here. This is what it comes down to, folks. Nobody wants to play the Blue Jays. They just don't. Okay? They're all shaking in their boots. You don't think the Orioles right now, and the Jays have four against the Orioles, by the way. There's a doubleheader on Saturday. Four. You don't think the Orioles are like, oh, fuck, the season can't end fast enough. And they're on their way to losing 100 games for the umpteenth. I don't know. Now they got the Blue Jays for four. Jeez, and the Jays are charging. It's like down the stretch they come. Secretariat. The Yankees are dead. The Red Sox are dead. Even if they manage to squeeze one of them, hang on to a wild card spot, they're not going anywhere, okay? They're not going anywhere. They're done. Time for the new kids in town. And this is it. Who has the best starting pitching in baseball? Okay? I would say the Jays are right there, right? Dodgers are pretty good. Giants are pretty good, too. But still. Great starting pitching. There isn't one game where you go, oh, shit, so Wilmer Font is starting, an opener. No. And even back in the days of, was it Brandon Morrow and Ricky Romero and Brett Cecil and who was the other guy? Sean Markham. And remember when the young pitching staffs? And,
yep.
No, not like these guys. Even though it's only for this year, you're not going to get Robbie Ray back so fast. This is a heck of a pitching staff, and this is where it all comes down to. You got a good starting pitcher out there. Your team is out there confident. They know that if they fall behind, the pitcher is going to keep them in there. You know, only a couple of runs, three runs from Manoah, okay, on a three-run homer. Only two runs from Berrios, a two-run homer. Okay, we're good because we can score 6, 8, 10, 12. They outscore the Yankees 25-8 in four games. 25-8! Folks, think about it. They beat them 8-0 Monday, 5-1 on Tuesday, 6-3 on Wednesday, and 6-4 last night, and only 6-4 because Nate Pearson gave up two bombs in the ninth inning. They want to try him out, okay? Not such a good idea. But I'm okay because they're winning, and it's the way they're winning, too. They can win. They can go to the lead and go all the way. They can come from behind. They've now got a bullpen, right? As long as they don't wear out Jordan Romano, who looks like a pretty good stopper at this particular point, closer, they look great. They were 9 games back of the Yankees 2 weeks ago today. 9 back. They're a half game back.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
That is amazing.
We were done. We 5% chance of making the playoffs, whatever it was, in end of August. It's now like 51% or something. Yeah. By the way, KM points out on your YouTube channel that the Yankees never had the lead in those four games.
Damn it. You just took my next line.
I should read this guy.
Oh, my God.
We're giving it to KM here.
KM, you've been listening to the same. You've been reading the same stats. You've been up on things like I have. You know, back in the day, Mike, when I had a radio show on terrestrial radio, I knew more than like 99% of the listeners.
Right.
Because I researched and that was my job. Now, 99% of the listeners know more than me. They just go deeper into the stats or, you know, whatever.
Sure.
And that is a great stat. It's true. The Yankees never held the lead. There was never hope for the Yankees. Once they fell behind, it was all over. It's all over. So here's the deal, folks. I'm not ready to say that the Jays are going to win all four against Baltimore, but I'm going to say they're going to win 3 of 4 against Baltimore, right? Just because having a 12-game winning streak, it was just a 13-game winning streak, would be absurd. I'm okay with 11, and then you can lose again, and then start another 11-game streak.
And that's the Blue Jay way. We often will go to 11 and then stop.
That's right. It goes to 11. So Toronto's at 77-62.
Spinal Tap.
Yeah, that was a very good one. It goes to 11. So Toronto's at 77-62. Now, this is something you have to pay attention to because teams have played different numbers of games, and Toronto has games in hand. You have to look at the all-important loss column. Loss column. They're even with the Yankees in Boston in the loss column. Even, and they have games in hand on both teams. Okay? Toronto's more likely to win. The Yankees and Boston are more likely to lose. That's just the way it's going to be, all right? No matter who the Jays are playing. Oh, I know, they've got 6 games against Tampa. Oh, my goodness. Yours truly just bought tickets to the final game against the Yankees, September the 30th. Got tickets ready to go for that one, because you know that's going to be a big game, because after that game, the last 3 of the season are at home against Baltimore, and they might be in a position where they have to win all 3, right? Or they might be in a position where they can rest and set up for the 1-game playoff with Robbie Ray as your starter and go, aha, we got 3 games against Baltimore. We only need to win one of them, and we can have it all set. That's where Charlie Montoyo is going to earn his money this year. Because last year, don't even get me started. The fucking playoffs, fucking Matt Shoemaker, the whole, don't even. He could do it. He could screw it up. He could lead off Corey Dickerson instead of Bo Bichette, right? God. Don't even get me started. It's very exciting. Very, very exciting.
Absolutely.
And here's the thing, Mike. If the Jays don't make, and I don't even know what the odds are now, and it doesn't matter. Now that I think of it, it doesn't matter. It was a stupid stat to throw out even. It was just sort of one of those, so as the team is losing, you're going, so what do you think their chances are? You know, most people are going to go, well, not very good at all. They're playing like shit. So forget that. I don't even know what the odds are. It wouldn't matter to me at all. I would bet with reasonable odds that the Jays will make the postseason. And if they don't, you've got a hell of a story, because how do you stop this freight train, right? Like I said before, Springer's down. It's like he's hardly missed. Alejandro Kirk is God. I love watching this guy hit. Seriously, I love watching this guy hit, and I'm going to tell you this right now. This guy is a potential batting champion. He hits all over the field. He hits the ball where it's pitched. He's got a good eye. He's like 18 months out of A-ball. It's a wonderful story. So they're going to make the playoffs. And even without George Springer, they're as dangerous as any team in baseball. Bo Bichette got things going last night. Homer in the first inning. Love those first inning home runs. What's the equivalent in hockey, right? Goal in the first 2 minutes, and then another one? That's the Jays, man. Oh, the other team comes back and ties it, but you know what? Now you've blown your load because the Jays are just going to come back and pound you. And they prove that, okay? Any other team, any other Jay incarnation of the Jays, you know, are up 3-0, and now the Rhett Garner hits a 3-run home run? You're not coming back. Yankees are coming back all the way. I'm sure all the Yankee fans were like, here we come. Here come the Yankees. Here we go. We got Judge. We got Stanton. We got Siri Sanchez. We got... What a boring team are the Yankees. And booting it around as if the baseball is a wet bar of soap. Pathetic. The Yankees, pathetic. Absolutely pathetic. So Bo gets us on the board. And then in the seventh, after they tie it 2-2, he singles home the tie-breaking run. And then Vladdy, 42nd bomb of the year, 100th RBI of the year. Wow. And then suddenly it's, wait a minute. Did we say that he has no chance of making the Triple Crown? Didn't Hebsy say that, like, we'll be happy if he hits 295?
Yep.
Well, guess what? Vladdy leads the American League in batting average at 319. He leads Michael Brantley by 4 points. Michael Brantley, wasn't he supposed to be a Blue Jay? Didn't some of the big mockers on social media say that Michael Brantley, the deal was done?
Hazel May.
You don't hear that. You don't hear that, though. It wasn't just Hazel.
Okay.
It was everyone else that carried that used her as the source and said, oh, this is the way it is. Yep. They're getting. Can you imagine if we had Michael Brantley in the lineup?
Wow.
Not that Lourdes Gurriel Jr. is having any problems. So Michael Brantley's 4 points back. 4 points is a lot at this time of year. That's a lot. That's a, you know, when you've got 650 plate appearances already, that's a lot. So, go get him, Vladdy, even though he was only 1-for-5 last night. The batting average went down. He's got 42 home runs now. 42, one back of Ohtani, who will not hit another home run this year. He's tired. He pitches, he hits, he homers. He's done. They're going to pitch away from him the rest. Vladdy's going to win that. And RBI, he's got 100. 100. He's four back of Abreu, of Chicago, and Sal Perez.
Wow.
Who's just, Sal Perez is a beast for KC. I'm telling you, this guy might go down, seriously, he might go down as like one of the great catchers of all time. He's like 6'6", 275. He's huge. Throws out, nobody runs on the guy, and he hits bombs. By the way, Vladdy, the third youngest player in baseball history to hit 40 home runs and 100 RBI. Four, those are significant numbers, 40 and 100. Third youngest. The other two, one's a Hall of Famer, one ain't.
Okay, I actually cheated by looking at your notes, and I disagree with your answer. Is that possible? I feel the answer is...
What do you mean you feel the answer?
Joe. I think the answer is Joe DiMaggio and Alex Rodriguez.
No.
Okay. Then you know what my stat is? I think mine is batting 300, getting 40 home runs, and having 100 RBIs at that, like 22 or younger. I think that's where A-Rod enters.
But just
the,
a second. But just a second.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Is it possible? I didn't look all the way down the list that A-Rod is like next on the list?
Very
like
possible.
Glad he just went in under A-Rod?
It's
like
possible.
He's now younger than A-Rod was?
Where Juan Gonzalez did not hit 300. That was the difference, I think.
Correct. Yeah, that's right. And that's why he's not in the Hall of Fame either.
So we're both correct. Right.
Yeah. And let's not forget about the pitching. You know, a lot of times, how do I say this, okay, without being rude and being a snob? You know, I know baseball, blah, blah, blah. But there's something about starting pitching. When all the starting pitchers are competitive within each other, they raise the level of a performance of the other guys. I know this for a fact. I saw it with the Blue Jays rosters when they started, you know, with Steve and Key when he came along and when Cerruti came became part of that. Very competitive, the starters. The Atlanta Braves, Smoltz and Maddox and Glavin. I mean, these guys were competitive. They played golf together. They'd kill each other, right, to win. And once you've got a starting staff like the Jays have, so who's the best? All right, who's the best? It's like okay, which one of you guys is the fastest runner?
Right.
Ego takes over. And it could be a beautiful thing, right? And Alek Manoah is part of this. He didn't join a starting staff of a bunch of nobodies. That's Robbie Ray over there. That's Ryu. That's a Cy Young winner. He's going to stick as close to Ryu as possible. By osmosis, he's going to be a better pitcher by being around these guys. Now you add Berrios to that. And I'm not going to say Matz is a veteran pitcher. There's something about confidence, and there's something about competition within your own team. And you don't think the hitters are doing that? I want to wear the jacket. I want to wear the home run jacket. And this is the team you've got. They're all coming together, okay? They all want to be a part of this. Might be a one-year fling. It's a beautiful thing to be a part of. It's beautiful.
Poor Layla, like she picked the wrong time to make a Grand Slam final because we spent the first.
Now here's what I'm thinking. I'm watching the game the other night, and I'm going, okay, so here's the deal: Arash Madani and Shai Davidi are in New York. Okay, they're not broadcasting the game from there. They're doing inserts, cut ins, recording some stuff. You know, pregame stuff, postgame stuff. The announcers are, you know, Buck, and I know I go through this, and people are going, "Hempsey, you're always whining about this." But Buck's in Florida, Pat's in Ohio. Dan, when he does the games, will be in Toronto doing them at the ballpark. Ben Wagner, the radio announcer, is in Toronto watching it off monitors. And this is weird. And then I thought, wait a second. I'll bet you Sportsnet, those cheap bastards, said to Arash, we'll let you go, but you got to go cover the U.S. Open. You got to go over to Flushing Meadows, too.
Oh, sure.
Layla's involved. Felix is involved. Okay? You know, we're gonna make sure you work when you're there. And so... I'm thinking, you know, you know, it probably isn't the case, but it's sort of like, it's just odd that you can cover at a distance. All right, there's the fighter pilots going over. That you can cover at a distance, you know, certain parts of the game, and yet you've got, you know, my expression, boots on the ground. You got two guys that are there. Like, if that's the case, why couldn't you have two people there that were calling the game? Like, what's
well,
the stretch?
Of course you can. Of course you can.
What's the stretch? I mean, it's like...
I think your point's valid that we're underserved. Like, we have this exciting young team, and we aren't getting the best coverage because we're not sending our play-by-play and analysts to the ball games.
Well, I also understand, because I read, that some ballparks have not opened up the visiting radio facilities for everybody because there are still some teams that are doing what the Jays are doing.
Okay,
so it's not like the Jays are the only team doing this, but they started this by not having a dedicated radio broadcast at the beginning of the year, so we're still pissed about that. Right?
Right. Right. All right. Okay. So I actually have more questions about sports media, but I'm going to hold on to them because feel like a major happening occurred last night that we really should dive into here. The Leyla Fernandez story is massive. I think that's a big story.
It is, but I'm not done with baseball.
Okay,
I'm still pumped about baseball.
Well, it's heavy on sports.
You know, so you think people are listening to this going, well, Leyla Fernandez? What the hell happened? Tell us already. We don't care anymore. Let me finish with my baseball. Don't do this to me, okay?
Keep going with baseball.
Nate Pearson came in last night, okay? The Jays were leading by 4. The night before, they were leading by 3 in the ninth. He's up in the bullpen. So is Romano. I'm going, save Romano. Save him when you need him. But no, a 3-run lead is a safe situation. Okay, it's a safe situation. Now, had they brought in Pearson last night, think about this, in a safe situation, and he gave up 2 bombs like he did last night, he still would have gotten the save. He would have gotten the save, Mike, because it's a stupid rule.
Yeah.
He would have come in with a 3-run lead. He would have given up 2 home runs, right? And he would have saved the game because the Jays still would have won, even though it was only by 1 run. It's a dumb rule. So last night he comes in, the Jays are leading by 4. No problem, right? And he gives up a couple of bombs. He can throw 101, but when the ball... okay, is down the pipe, and the bat makes contact. It's leaving at like 127 miles an hour or something like that. It's crazy.
Right.
He's still a project. You can't use him anymore. Stop it. Just stop it. Use a veteran. You got plenty of arms. Give Julian Merriweather a try. He's off the 160-day DL or whatever. But don't use Nate Pearson unless absolutely necessary or unless you're in a ball game where you need some innings and you're getting your ass kicked and even with your great offense, you're not coming back. Please. Oh, and wasn't it great seeing the wife beater Aroldis Chapman get his ass kicked by Vladdy? Just, oh, God, that was wonderful. I couldn't help but tweet something because I was just so happy. Couldn't happen to a bigger prick. Tonight, the man with the tight pants. Oops. How did I go from that? And a serious contender. Serious contender for the Cy Young. This guy, Robbie Ray, is fabulous. Give him what he wants. He's taken to the mound tonight in Baltimore to take on right-hander Chris Ellis. First of 4. Against the Orioles. And, Mike, I've already got my tickets for that final home game.
So, because you were hesitant 30th. To be in a big crowd outdoors.
I was, and it's not a big crowd, though. They're still not going to be able to have more than 15,000.
Okay.
And I saw the seating arrangement. There's nobody sitting next to us on either side, and there's people in front of us, but it's staggered. Oh, yeah.
Well, welcome to the club. I've been to Blue Rodeo. I've been to BMO Field to see TFC.
I was at BMO Field the other night, so stop.
Okay, yeah, you're okay. Well,
stop
no,
it, okay? Now you're bragging.
No, it's I'm just speaking to the comfort level outdoors in this pandemic. We're fully vaxxed, of course.
Right. Did you? Is there any way that the sun can be?
Is it in your eyes?
Literate? No, it's okay.
Because I can do a thing. I think. Hang in there. That umbrella exists because you complained last year. I think that people were sitting in the sun, and then I got the umbrella. So,
all right.
Yeah,
that's okay. It's a beautiful day. No, you don't apologize for a beautiful sunny day in the backyard.
We'll switch seats. But you have to man the keys.
Stop
here.
It. Just stop it. All right. So I got my tickets for the Yankee game. Very exciting.
Cool.
Way more than I would have spent for anything else. But hey, okay, you're gonna go. You want to get good seats anyway. And it could prove to be a big one, the final game against the Yankees, because the Jays finished the regular season with 3 against the Yanks, then 3 against Baltimore, and then that's it.
Well, it's a big gamble because it could also be nothing. Like you're
either. Oh, I don't think so. Okay. With four games left, okay, the way things look now, I would be very surprised if that game was meaningless.
Okay.
Very surprised. Meanwhile, there are other teams who still have a good shot at the playoffs, and let's not forget the Mariners and A's are both 1.5 back of the Jays and 2 back of the final wild card. So there, you can't discount them. And in the National League, you got the Dodgers and Padres holding the 2 wild cards. But Cincinnati, with Joey Votto, future Hall of Famer, come on!
Yes.
Just a game back in the Cardinals, 3 back with Philly hanging out at 3.5 back. Still in contention. Giants leading the West by 2.5. The Brewers, with Rowdy Tellez, lead the Central by 12 games over the Reds. 12 games! And the Braves lead the Phillies by 3.5. Some great September baseball. It's only going to get better.
Gotta love it.
Remind me if we've got time to talk about the Hall of Fame speeches that I watched the other day for baseball.
Okay, well, we'll tie that in because I do want to talk sports media stuff
as
a precursor to what you're doing after this episode. So.
Now, wait a sec. Let me take a sip of coffee here. This is another
real
treat
moment.
Because the cafe around the corner from your place, which has the greatest. I picked up lunch already. My lunch anyway. I don't know if we were serving. But and the coffee is fantastic. So it's been like a year and a half or more since I've
Oh, no, my friend. Enjoy the coffee there. Again, glad you're here.
God,
it is. I know
so
the
good.
Sun might be in your eyes, but it is a beautiful, clear sky. It's like
forget
sometimes
it.
You got that threat of
more than happy
storm,
to be in the
but not today. This is beautiful.
More than happy to be in the sun.
And we're talking about
I'm dressed in layers, too, here, Mike, so I can
you can peel them off. We're here. Think about this. We're here in, like, almost mid-September talking about meaningful Blue Jay baseball.
No, it's great.
There's nothing better.
But let's stop it already with the baseball, okay? Can we not get to you-know-who? Are Canadians not the best? We have the world's fastest man, Andre DeGrasse. We have the world's greatest athlete, Olympic gold medal decathlete, Damian Warner. We have the world's greatest female soccer team. We have the world's greatest female hockey team. And this week, one of the world's great baseball players, Larry Walker, and a couple of soon-to-be great tennis players, Felix Auger-Aliassime and the incredible Layla Annie Fernandez. Should I get rid of the Annie part? It's Layla Fernandez.
She's dropped it, I think. Okay. I think we're going by Layla Fernandez.
But Annie just sounds so great, eh? And let's face it. I mean, she just turned 19. She looks 13 or 14.
I was saying that. She looks
13
or
14.
Yeah, 14, 15. But she looks very young for a 19-year-old.
What a story this is. I mean, she's such
my
a great
age.
Story.
What has my son done?
Such a great story. And I mean, never mind from an immigrant family. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful story. And what a tennis player.
Yes.
What a tiger. The unseeded Fernandez was down 4-1 in the first set. And you're going, oh, she's, you know, just turned 19. She's going against the number 2 seed, number 2 in the world, Irina Sabalenka. I mean, you know, it's okay. She got this far, good for her, right? You're not thinking she's going to storm back, knock this number 2 seed Sabalenka on her can, okay? Win a tiebreaker against this girl, and then take the first set, and then you're telling me now you're going to go, oh, come on, this is a Cinderella story. It can't happen. And then, of course, you know, she loses the second set, so you're like, okay, so she'll go 3 sets. It'll be a great thing. She's not going to beat this woman, blah, blah. Meanwhile, she keeps her cool.
Yeah.
She's, like, cooler than the other side of the pillow. Yeah. Okay? This other girl is like, well, falling apart. She's falling apart. Hitting herself in the head. Slapping herself.
Yeah.
And when they showed the replays in tennis, they showed in super slow motion.
Yeah, she was beating
herself
up.
So it looks like she's physically, you know, punching herself. You see the jowl kind of blah, 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 like that. Right. And you're like, oh, man. And it's smashing her racket. But not as soon as she screwed up the shot. Like, you know, not like, oh, I fucked up the shot. And then smash, 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 smash on the court.
Yeah.
No. She goes and she sits down and she grabs a towel. And then she grabs a racket and just hammers and smashes.
Right.
And then that's it for a while. And then you look over and you look at this young lady, this poised.
Oh, very poised.
Young lady. And she's like meditating. Beautiful. Love it. And then we find out afterwards that like Steve Nash is like a huge influence on her. That when she was down and when she was down and behind and had to work harder and harder, that her coaches and her friends and everyone would say, look at Steve Nash. Look what he accomplished. Look what they said about him. Okay? You know what I mean? First round pick, Santa Clara, never going to make Santa Clara College. Oh, he's not going to make it in Dallas, blah, blah. Everything about him. The guy's a freaking Hall of Famer. Come on, give me a freaking break, okay?
Absolutely.
So he's in her box. I mean, it's Captain Canada. Remember the 2000 Olympics and the Canadian men's basketball team and Steve Nash. And you're going, this is fucking great. Dude, that was fantastic. Fantastic. Anyway, she ends up winning 7-6, 4-6, 6-4. And that break of serve. Okay, in the ninth game of the final set. So Sabalenka's serving at 4-5 here. And everyone's thinking she's going to hold serve because she's just got a monster serve. She's like powerful.
Oh, much bigger and
stronger. And oh my God, this man ended up going to a tiebreaker. I can't take it anymore. And Sabalenka just shits the bed.
Yep.
And we win. She wins, but we win.
Right.
We all win because we've been riding the coattails of Canadians who are doing well, right? And Corey Connors was going and Mackenzie Hughes was going in golf. It doesn't matter. We're just so proud because they all recognize that they're Canadians and they all recognize that they're doing this for Canada. They all acknowledge it. Larry Walker in his Hall of Fame speech, I'm from Canada. Like, this is great stuff. I mean, you know, for years it was like, oh, Canada, what do you guys have? Comedians and hockey players. And
right.
If it wasn't for idiots like John McEnroe, who keep in it, and what's her name? Maple syrup. If you call the maple syrup, shut up. Right? We know who we are. Come on. We're great. We're fucking great. We're Canadians. And when it comes to tennis, what other nation? And think of reaching certain heights, okay? Like getting to the semifinal or the final of a major. Mm-hmm. So when you think of Jeannie Bouchard and Milos Raonic, how many years ago? Like 7, 8 years ago, 10 years ago maybe, right? And now, you know, Bianca Andreescu winning the U.S. Open, Dennis and Felix moving up the ladder, yes, as Federer and Rafa Nadal are winding down. It's an exciting time to be a Canadian sports fan, and so much fun following a young lady who really wasn't on anybody's radar this year. It was all about Bianca. What's with Bianca? Bianca. Now, on this show, I had been mentioning all along, Mike, whenever there was a tennis match, how Leila Fernandez was doing, right? She's a Canadian.
Oh, yeah. I've heard her
name.
We
were always, yeah. We knew.
Dozens of times on Hebsy on
Sport. But still, come on.
Yeah.
And here's the best part of it, mm-hmm, all right? She's off to the U.S. final, and she's going to play another teenager, a teenager born in Toronto.
Wild.
Emma Raducanu.
Wild.
Who won last night over the 17th seed Maria Sakkari, the woman who knocked off Andreescu in the round of 16. And it wasn't even close. Raducanu wins 6-1, 6-4. So the women's final, Saturday, 4 o'clock, 18-year-old Emma Raducanu of Great Britain.
Qualifier, right?
Qualifier.
That's never happened
before. Never! Against an unseeded, although she was in the main draw, but an unseeded still, a just-turned 19-year-old.
Yeah.
Come on.
Okay, listen,
man.
Brian says it was probably the odds of that final, if you were to bet who would make the final and pick those two young women, 100,000 to 1.
No, no, it wasn't that much. No.
Because there's never been a qualifier.
No, 100,000 to 1 is ridiculous. That's
okay,
ridiculous.
Well, I don't know if he's gone to Vegas.
It was more like about 500 to 1.
Okay,
And that's pretty big odds.
I have no idea.
And 500 to 1 is a pretty
odds.
Big odds.
Yeah.
Because let's face it, all that had to happen was people had to lose certain matches. But anyway, whatever it was, I don't think anybody would have put down
a shekel
on that final. Okay,
and
it was just a wonderful feeling, and the post match, and her family, and by the way, the guy that was cheering the guy with the hat, that's not her father.
No, that's not her father.
It's not her father.
He's not there.
Her father did a very emotional interview with, I'm trying to think on who it was on TSN. It was just a quickie little cut from his home.
Right.
Man, the guy was in tears because he was asked, and this is the beauty, he was asked, I think it was Corey Warren did the interview, but anyway, mm-hmm, he was asked, and I apologize now if it wasn't, what does this mean to you as a Canadian, as someone who immigrated to Canada? And man, the guy, he got choked up, the father. And
right.
I was just like, this is a wonderful story. Like only in Canada could you have this opportunity. So he's so thankful and so respectful of Canada and just this whole country, this love affair we have with each other now. It's
right.
Great.
Right.
Okay, speaking of which, Felix Auger-Aliassime, love this guy. Same thing ever since. I don't know, how old was he? We've been talking about him. He's hoping to reach the finals on the men's side. He's got a big obstacle in the semifinals today. Daniil Medvedev this afternoon going on. And I can tell you right now, the crowd's going to be 99.9% in favor of Felix.
Love it.
Because Medvedev's a jerk. And he's already fucked around with that crowd many times before at the U.S. Open. Come on, you guys. The reason I won, you guys, because of you booing me, you guys. Come on, you. Dickwad. So I would love to see Felix take this guy out.
He's like a heel in the WWF.
A heel. Exactly. Bobby the Brain Heenan. Yeah.
Oh, I love it.
Felix is the number 12 seed in this tournament. And already, I mean, even if he loses. But I don't like saying shit like that. I mean, he's just been tough.
Yeah.
Before our very eyes, blossoming into a world-class player.
And that's 3 p.m. today?
3 o'clock today. And Medvedev, we saw Medvedev. I watched him. We went live to the National Bank Open in Toronto. Medvedev won that tournament. I think Felix got eliminated pretty early there. But anyway, Felix is playing some fantastic tennis. I hope it's a great match. And the winner of that match is going to play the winner of the Alexander Zverev-Novak Djokovic match, which goes tonight. And by the way, Djokovic has been hitting all week with Vasek Pospisil. He apparently sought out Pospisil and wanted to hit with him because Pospisil could play any type of game, but also Djokovic could practice against him and say, you know, I want you to play it this way against me, the way my next opponent is going to play. And Pospisil's in his box, like in the player's box. Like when you get invited to sit in the player's box, man, that's like royalty, right?
Right.
That's the player's box. That's with the family and the closest of close.
And Steve
Nash. Pretty cool. Yeah, that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool.
Hey, because of all these, like you mentioned, Canadians are great right now, and you mentioned Damian Warner and DeGrasse, and let's say one of these two Canadians wins the U.S. Open. Mm. Let's say Leila Fernandez wins the U.S. Open, just hypothetically speaking. Stephen Lewis is dying to know, and I'm going to use this term that you do not like to use, and then you can remind us why, but who wins the Lou Marsh Award?
Athlete of the Year.
Okay, well, Canada's Athlete of the Year. Who wins that Like, is it Damian Warner? Is it DeGrasse? Is it Leyla Fernandez? Like, how many options this year for that title?
It's a super interesting topic of discussion.
Yeah,
and quite frankly, meaningless, because nobody will go back and say so and so won this year and so deserved to win. I mean, it's just really an arbitrary thing.
I think if you
asked 100 people, you could get 50 different answers.
Agreed.
You could go with a team of the year, and that's the thing.
And Penny Oleksiak's in the conversation too.
Yeah, yeah. But the other thing is too is that especially in an Olympic year, it's like the team of the year, right. Athlete of the year, male right. athlete of the year, female athlete of the year, young athlete. You know, enough already with it. I mean, we know who's great,
right?
Well, okay. Now, if it's extra bucks in their pocket, so they can say, you know, Lou fucking Marsh. Okay. Hey, guess what? I won the big deal. When I hear the Americans say that, I said, oh, by the way, it was a Lou Marsh winner. Like, it sounds like, what the fuck is that? Like, what is that?
Well, youngsters don't have no clue who Lou Marsh is, right?
Athlete of the year, okay? Right. Athlete. You're voting for your athlete of the year. Go ahead. Pick whoever you want to. I mean, one year it's going to happen, and this is probably the year, I've already mentioned it, between DeGrasse and Warner, and if Leyla Fernandez or Felix ends up winning a major,
yep.
or if Corey Connors were to have won the Masters, or go ahead and pick a bunch more.
Unbelievable. And then, yeah.
And Larry Walker going into the Hall of Fame this year, the famous story of Larry Walker against Villeneuve, and, you know, Villeneuve drives a car, and Larry Walker had a spectacular season, right. that whole, you know, big deal. Right. It makes for great fodder, but it comes down to, really, when it comes down to, it's not that important.
It's
sports talk radio fodder.
There you go, Stephen Lewis. Thanks for the question.
Thank you, Stephen. All right. Football, Tom Brady and the Bucks outlasted Dak Prescott and the Cowboys as the NFL kicked off its 17-week season. That's right, 17 weeks of the NFL season this year. Tom Brady, in an absolute seat squirmer, led the Bucks in the final minute and a half down the field, leading them like a field general, 44 years of age, masterful, directing the team beautifully and working the clock to perfection. With 2 seconds to go, Ryan Succop, I just love that name, kicked a 36-yard field goal to give the defending Super Bowl champions a 31-29 victory at Raymond James Stadium. That was the 49th time.
I was enjoying that.
That was the 49th time in Brady's career. 49 times he's led a game-winning drive in the fourth quarter or overtime. 49 times, and it's not even the most in history. Peyton Manning and Drew Brees have more.
Wow.
But they're both retired, and Brady's got 3-4 more years, right? Tom threw for 379 yards, 4 touchdowns, also picked off twice, but still, he's Brady. And Prescott threw for 403 yards and 3 touchdowns in the losing cause. Ladies and gentlemen, football is a passing game. Anyone who told you that controlling the ground game was, forget it, man. Throw the football. It's like the three-pointer in basketball.
Right.
Who remembers basketball without a three-pointer? Long bomb, boom, bam, bam. You could dunk all the time pretty much, but come on. You want the long bomb. Chicks dig the long ball. Baseball, we want to see home runs. Short porch, Yankee Stadium, go, go, go. Who hits the longest drive? Who? Bryson right. DeChambeau, 6,000 yards, right? The golf courses aren't long enough. It's length, baby. It's all about length.
That's what she said.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. You know.
And let's face it, okay? These guys are throwing the ball 50-plus times a game. 50 times a game! Football's a passing game. Okay, it is. Meanwhile, my team, the Buffalo Bills, open up against the Pittsburgh Steelers Sunday at... Shit, what's it called now? The Ralph Rich. Ralph Rich... New Era Stadium. What the fuck are they call the stadium? I don't even know. It's just a place. They're going to blow it up anyway and build a new stadium, aren't they?
I don't know.
No, seriously. I think start construction in 2082. It's not that many years away, Mike. A little over 60 years away. They're on the stadium. Bills are 6.5-point favorites. I'm picking them to win the Super Bowl.
Wow.
I picked the Bills because Josh Allen is just great, and I like that team.
And no bias.
I hope they all get fully vaccinated. Yeah, I've been a Bills fan since 1964. I saw my first Buffalo Bills game.
Wow.
1964. Cookie Gilchrist. Albert Golden Wheels DeBinion. Don't get me started.
Oh, I just have a great question I need to ask you to follow up on that Canadian Athlete of the Year discussion. And this is a wonderful little nugget there. Is Vladdy Jr. eligible for Canadian Athlete of the Year?
Sure, why not? He's born in Montreal. My question is this. If Canada went to the World Baseball Championships, would they be able to coerce Vladdy
right.
into playing for Team Canada?
Right, right.
As opposed to the Dominican team, which will be stacked anyway, right? They have all kinds of great players. The Dominicans, come on, Vladdy, you're born in Montreal. He's got a legit claim.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, yeah.
If you're born here, you're automatically a citizen, aren't you?
Yeah, I think unless you denounce
your citizenship, right.
Right, like I think Conrad Black or something did that.
Conrad Black and Vladdy Guerrero in the same jail cell.
Yeah, which means that this U.S. Open women's final, of course, technically speaking, in Greg Ruzedski style, I suppose, although he was raised in Canada, it's a whole different story.
But we can't even get into this. It's not fair. Lennox Lewis, Daniel Legale, we can't get into it.
Yeah, Lewis is another one.
Who do you choose to represent?
Right.
Anyway.
Right. Okay.
Okay. I got to tell you about this golf experience. We mentioned before we went on the podcast about Jay and Dan, Tim and Sid.
Duos.
Tim and friends,
dynamic
duos and stuff like that. And how almost always, the combination of the duo mm-hmm. is much stronger and more long lasting than any individual could accomplish. It just seems that way.
Typically, yes.
Yeah, typically, right. And so you were mentioning. So my my girlfriend's son is 18 years old, and he says he watches he watched Jay and Dan, and still watches the Jay on Right show, like every morning on the loop. Right, I can see him with his face in the cereal bowl, and he's watching the highlights. And sure, I would do the same thing. And so my girlfriend's like, "Oh man, this is the way like it was when you were on Sportsline. Like they would tape it on VHS and watch the next morning,
okay,
right?
Yeah,
that kind of a thing. People did that, and then they go to school and they just talk about it at school all the time. Did you see that the highlights are blah 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 stuff like
yes,
that?
Guy.
So anyway, Serena says. Oh, well, by the way, we're going to be playing golf with Dan O'Toole next week. And he goes, wow.
Wow.
Wow. He goes, does Mark know Jay Onright too? And she says, yeah, he does.
Yeah.
Wow. So I thought, man, wouldn't it be great? I'll just get in touch with Jay. Mm-hmm. Say, look, my girlfriend's son's 18 and he's just a huge fan and all that. And could you like write your autograph down on a napkin or something like that? Yeah. So I can give it to the kid. It would be great for him, right?
Sure.
So I haven't heard back from Jay yet, but I thought that's pretty funny.
Amazing.
But I would say kids nowadays, but yeah. I mean, 18-year-olds, high school kids, whatever. I mean, he's going to college now. But that age, that was like you're just getting into it. See, he wasn't a baseball fan, and now he's a baseball fan. He's gone to a couple games. He watches the games or the highlights. He sees it, the Jay Onright show. Sure. I'm always going to call him Jay and Dan. I hate them. Sorry. And on Tim and Sid, he watches those shows, right?
Right.
He gets his bite-sized stuff. He's like, I got to start following the Jays.
Right.
He's hooked. Sometimes it takes a little longer. Sometimes you're hooked from a really early age because of your parents or whatever. Sometimes it takes a little bit longer. So I thought that was pretty cool. That's pretty cool. Yeah, it's pretty, pretty cool. Anyway, listen, so we're playing golf next week. We're going off to the Kawarthas for a while. But this weekend... Mm-hmm. Another crack at Crosswinds, and it's just, man, it's been great. And usually by this time of the year, I'm my game is in razor sharp shape, and I'm ready to break 80. I don't know about this year. It's going to be a little more difficult than what happens when you get old. But I'm going to give it a old try. We're playing again on Sunday. I can hardly wait. I played last week with my sons. It was fantastic. Just such a great time on a beautiful day. You got to check out Crosswinds. If you want to play public golf at its finest with just the best customer service where they really look after you. Where on a super hot day, they come out with ice cold bottles of water, no charge.
Nice.
And no charge.
Nice.
It's a public golf course. Go to crosswindsgolf.com. Check it out for yourself. Tell them Hebsy sent you. You'll have such a good time.
Awesome. Enjoy. Is now a good time for me to insert a little sports media. This is almost a teaser because after this episode of Hebsy on Sports, I'm going to let you take a little breath, a little breather, and then we're going to record an episode of Toronto Mike, the sports media roundtable discussion. So there's going to be like a lot of sports media talk in that. But I thought this would be a good time to just quickly chat. I saw that TSN Radio has like I think Matt Cause is going to host like a 3-hour daily show all about just sports betting and fantasy sports. And I just wondered, like, what is your thoughts on that? Is that the future of sports radio in this market? Is that it's just like gambling, basically? Is that the future?
Well, it looks like it. You've opened up a lot. Look, I know a lot of people. I mean, I was a sports fan. I didn't know what a bet was. I love sports for sports. And I think I think most people are like that.
Yeah.
I think the Johnny-come-latelys may have gotten interested in sports because you can bet on it. I'm not saying they're, you know, these people are degenerate gamblers, but for whatever reason that you want to watch the game, most people have an interest in one team winning or losing.
But usually that's the home team.
Or else why watch the game?
Right,
now, if you don't have a favorite team, for example,
okay,
you just like to win and you like football.
Yes.
And you want it to be exciting right down to the wire.
Right.
You like having action if you're going to spend 3.5 hours in front of the tube or whatever.
Right.
You make a little bet. You're part of a pool. You bet the Super Bowl every year. So now it's just way easier to do that. And you can make prop bets. Oh, any proposition that you want. How many passes will he throw? How many interceptions will he throw? And they'll take a bet on anything. It's beautiful. It's the Wild West. It is, Mike. Now, as someone who used to gamble pretty heavily, I can tell you that this is the road to destruction.
Mm.
For two reasons. One is you want to watch sports for the pure, like, it's sports, man. You want your team to win.
Right.
You don't want to be in a situation where you hope someone fails so that you can win a bet.
Right.
That's not sports.
Like you find yourself kind of rooting against the Jays because you got money on the Yankees or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. And now you find yourself hedging your bet. Even though it's your favorite team, you don't want them to win by more than 7 because the bet's, you know, all that stuff.
Right.
But the purity of it, and this is the reason that amateur sport, the whole idea for amateur sport was you play for the love of the sport. And so anyone watching watches for the love of the sport. Like, even yesterday, even if Fernandez would have lost, man, I would have said, that was great. That was drama. Some of the points were wonderful. I loved it. Give me more, 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 more.
Right.
But I don't know what the outcome's going to be, so I've got to watch it. So for me, if I've got skin in the game, in other words, if it's a game that I have no interest in at all, I'm not going to watch it. I'm not going to make a bet on the game so I have interest so I can waste 3.5 or 4 hours. I'll find other things to do. But for it's my favorite team, I'm watching. And so I just think that it's as long as this gambling allows people to experience a sport that they've never experienced before, and they don't listen. And as long as you gamble responsibly, which I didn't do,
know your limit, live within
it. And that's a very important thing. If that's your entertainment money, if it's like, look, I'm either going out for dinner with the boys or whatever, and I'm going to spend $100 this weekend, and you say, no, I think I'd rather spend it betting on these games and hanging out with my friends. That's fine.
You got to be disciplined.
You got exactly right, like anything else. Sure. So, you know, I'm a fan, always first and foremost a fan. Here's my favorite teams. This is who I root for.
Right.
If it's a game between two teams. Now, I didn't have an interest in last night's game, but I love Brady.
Right.
I love to see what he can accomplish. Every game he plays, I want to see it. It might be the last time I get to see him play.
Right.
I watched the Dodger game yesterday because I wanted to see Albert Pujols' final at-bat in St. Louis.
Okay.
He's retiring.
Right.
It was a walk. They booed the pitcher, the Cardinal pitcher. They walked him. Pujols' last at-bat.
Wow.
So these are the types of moments. When I watched Larry Walker give his Hall of Fame acceptance speech live, I fucking cried.
Wow.
I cried because this guy is Canadian. I wanted to go and hug him.
Get the SpongeBob pin.
Hey, he's a fantastic, okay? Wonderful guy, okay? And just, he's just so earnest and just so honest. And his family, Terry, Mary, Barry, Larry, Jerry, hysterical, brilliant and beautiful. And he admitted how nervous he was with Fergie Jenkins. It was just so great. And Derek Jeter's speech was great too. And Ted Simmons' speech was wonderful. And I think the best speech of them all. And even, I think Donald Fehr's speech about Marvin Miller was just so wonderful, and that how Marvin Miller told people before he died he would not accept induction into the Hall of Fame.
Wow,
he just wouldn't do it.
Right,
that he had nothing to do with baseball, that labor related, but in fact he did. And the speech by Donald Fehr was just so great. These are the types of things I love about sports.
Yeah, me too.
Love
me
it.
Too.
Love
me
it.
Too. But none of that has to do with who I've got money on. Like I mean, it's to each his own. I have personally zero interest in a 3-hour sports betting program.
There
but that's
go.
That's me.
That's you. But again, you're trying to get a slice of the audience somewhere. And the other thing is you're trying to establish
the money. Like maybe that's where the sponsors are. I don't know. Maybe it's all about money, right? So, but
do you know how many? I'm not going to say. I think this podcast is complimentary. Right? Complementary to these radio shows.
Right.
That some of them, there's podcasts for them. Some of them, there aren't. Some of them people might listen to live. But I think, you know, during the pandemic or whatever, that people discovered this and said, oh, there are other sports talk shows that don't, you know, like today, this morning coming in, I'm listening to an interview with Penny Oleksiak on the radio with Scotty Mack and Ziggy. And I'm like, she's a great swimmer, but so she can't hold my attention on the radio.
Right.
And I heard the same interview yesterday on Tim and Friends. And Tim's got a new producer, and I don't know who this guy is, but I mean, before it was Jesse, who's the other guy, who is his producer. And now, so I didn't get if there's an announcement, if this is the new Tim and Friends, if this is the new friend, that type of thing. But what happens is Tim constantly refers to Sid on the show months later.
Interesting.
Whenever they have a flashback, they run a clip of Tim and Sid.
Yeah, because he's still in the same family. So
right,
they can
right.
Do that. Yeah.
Right. Which is fine. But it's sort of, it's almost like, you know, you got to let it go. You have to let Sid go. You have to divorce Sid. You have to get divorce papers before you can court a new friend. I don't know. Whatever. It was kind of strange that way.
And then last thing is we speculated at some point about potentially Greg Brady returning to be morning show host at Fan 590, but I did see an announcement this week that Greg Brady is now the permanent host of the 640 Global News Radio morning
Correct.
Show. So he's off the market there, I suppose.
He is off
any
the
insights?
Market. Here's the insight. He was approached by the Fan. I don't know how far they went. He didn't get into specifics, but he said it would have to be a tremendous deal or else he would stay at 640 because he felt that the 640 was much more stable, that they had a direction that they wanted to go, that with News Talk 1010 really fading out of the picture, having no blown up their newsroom,
right,
that there's an opportunity for Global News 640 to contend with 680 News and even beyond, because 680 doesn't do interviews. They don't do segments like that. And so, you know, that's a good future to have. But having said that, Greg is poised to be the next morning man of the Fan 590 in 3 to 5 years.
Interesting.
Right?
Okay, interesting. So he'll do 640 for a while, and then at some point...
Well, I think that might be the case. Yeah, I think that... I think if the Fan 590 leaves their current morning show in place for the next 3 to 5 years, then, you know, that it might be the logical successor. There you go. That's what
All
I'm
right.
talking about. Also,
and you're going to have to repeat that in my show after this.
Yeah.
Talk to me about Jamie Campbell.
Jamie Campbell, the other night, did... I was at the Canada El Salvador soccer game, which was just fantastic. It was great. Man, I didn't know there were that many El Salvadorans or El Salvadorians,
because they all came out,
or Salvadorans or Salvadorians. Either one is okay. I asked,
right.
But yeah, they were terrific. But let me tell you, when you're down like 2-0 after the first like 10 minutes, right, and the beer starts to flow and you start hearing, you know, certain expressions in Spanish that you know are swear words, you know, and we're sitting in the second row. So we're like, you know, we're like 15, 20 yards from these guys. And believe me, they're all within earshot. They're all within earshot. So it was very, very exciting. But anyway, so while that game's going on, during the game, someone had tweeted me that what happened to Jamie Campbell. And I'm like, well, and so I'm kind of looking, and Jamie had started the game, had done the pregame show with Joe, had done, I don't know if he had done the first handoff saying, okay, let's go to Buck and whoever, Buck and Pat and for the game. And then you usually don't see them until I think the third or fourth inning. They come in with a little insert. Joe, what did you notice? And so when they did the insert, Jamie wasn't part of it. Introduced himself and say, you know, hi, Joe Siddle here in the studio, and here's what I noticed, and people were like, well, what happened to Jamie?
Yeah.
There wasn't anything out there, and so people were telling me this, and I'm like, well, that's, and then by the time I got home, I watched the post-game show, which was just Joe on the desk, not Jamie, so I direct messaged Jamie, you know, hope everything's okay, pal, like, you know, people are kind of worried, you know, somebody used the COVID, everything, all right.
He's beloved.
Hey, beloved, exactly. And so he got right back to me and said, no, he had a reaction from the shot. I think he had taken a booster shot, another shot.
Oh.
And he was eligible for that?
That's
concerning. The only thing I can read into is, again, is you want to be fully, fully, fully vaxxed if you can, especially if you want to be traveling. And let's face it, maybe there's a chance. I don't know if they make the playoffs, but I'm speculating way too far down the road.
Of course.
The point of the matter is he had a bad reaction to it. He knew he was going to have it. I think he had a bad reaction to a previous as well. Some people just, you know, it didn't bother me at all. Some people, it really
knocked
out.
Got me good too.
Yeah. And so, and he was back last night. So he said, no, I just got a bad reaction to it and everything's fine and I'll be back tonight. So good on that.
Good.
Now, one other thing.
Yes, of course.
Darren Detition,
yes.
Our beloved friend, Dutchie from TSN Sports Center, for many, many years, has cancer. And so, heartfelt, speedy recovery, a man. I don't know what stage it's at or whatever, but man, he's a fighter. I mean, literally, like, he's a fighter. He's a tough guy, but Dutchie. So, you know, to all of us, man, you know, get well soon and look after yourself. And Godspeed. Whoa. What's that?
Oh, I was anticipating. That's what a good producer
does. I'm sitting
does.
Right across from you here. You know, did I give you the cue? Did I give you anything like that?
I figured it would be low in the background while you wrapped up. You know, I've only done this 249 times. I thought I was on the same wavelength as you.
Go ahead. Okay. Or go play Wavelength by Van Morrison. All right, yeah, that's it. Mike was correct. He was correct. Okay, the time is right to end episode 249 of Hebsy on Sports. And thanks, as always, to Toronto Mike for production, inspiration, a lovely setting here in the backyard studio. All good. Check out his fabulous podcast at Toronto Mike. It's great.
And at 11 a.m., if I may, this is scheduled for 11 a.m. today, which is like 30 minutes from now. I've got the great Mark Hebsher on Toronto Mike talking more. That tidbits you got there, that insight into the Greg Brady situation and everything, we're going to put that on steroids, basically, and just talk. There's so much to cover since you were last on a sports media roundtable. So that'll be where, and it's up to you if it goes live on your Facebook, on your YouTube. It's up to you.
Yeah, we can do it, sure.
Okay, because it's going live. Yeah, we'll put it on your YouTube. We'll put it on my Facebook. And then, of course, the pirate stream for Toronto Mike FOTMs, which is live.torontomike.com. It'll be there as well. But that's happening in 30 minutes' time.
Yeah, beautiful, eh? And do you ever get this much information at the end of a podcast, of any other podcast? No, you don't. Thanks as well. Our great sponsor, Crosswinds Golf and Country.
Yes.
Lovely people. Professional, courteous, a commitment to excellence that is beyond compare. Public golf.
Well, let's put it this way. I never, ever, ever wear a baseball cap. Never. The only people who can get me to put on a baseball cap, Crosswinds.
Yeah, it's beautiful. That's because that's a 10-gallon hat and you've got a 5-gallon head. Okay, so yeah, go to crosswindsgolf.com. Tell them Hebsy sent you. Book your tee time online now. We're back with another episode next week. Where are we doing next week's episode from?
Up to you, buddy.
Do we have a
location? I'm here every week.
Do we have a location? And is there? And if the weather was inclement, would you schedule it for indoors, or are we not at that level yet? We're not quite
fully
there
vaxxed,
yet.
I am fully vaxxed. I will do an indoor episode.
I am fully vaxxed.
I did it with Dana Levinson. I would do it with Mark Hebsher.
There you go. Okay. I'm in good company. Anyway, we're back with another exciting episode next week from a location as yet to be determined. Until then, so long for now. This podcast has been produced by TMDS and accelerated by Rome Phone. Rome Phone brings you the most reliable virtual phone service to run your business and protect your home number from unwanted calls. Visit romephone.ca to get started.